The scripture reading today is Luke chapter 1, verses 47 through 55. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for the Holy One has looked with favor on the lowliness of this servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. And holy is God's name. Her mercy is for those who fear her, from generation to generation. God has shown strength with his arm and has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly, has filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away empty. The Holy One has helped Israel in remembrance of God's mercy, according to the promise made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever.
The fourth Sunday of Advent, and Mary is found in our scripture reading again this year. We found her last year, too. And more than likely, we found her the year before, and the year before that, and the year before that, and so on. It is hard to speak of the anticipation of the birth of Christ without speaking of the anticipation that Mary must have felt, the anticipation that Joseph must have felt. Here they were, not a wealthy, young, unmarried couple, and Mary is pregnant. We tend to make this story almost a fairy tale, but we know better. It's anything but a fairy tale. In that day and age, all sorts of dishonor could come their way. Mary could be disowned, made to be an untouchable. Joseph could be dishonored by Mary's so-called actions. It could have been a long-lasting, rippling effect on the whole family for both Joseph and Mary. This is a rough, raw story that we tend to glamorize and forget what this meant for Mary and Joseph. This is the story of a God who calls a woman who is a nobody to enter the story of God's relationship with creation in a pretty big way. But is it that different from God calling Abraham or Moses? Well, yes, in the fact that there is an actual birth that will happen with this calling. And yes, because Abraham did have some wealth. When God called Abraham to leave his country and go to a new land, Abraham responded yes, much like Mary. But Abraham also loaded up his wife, his nephew, all of his possessions and people that they had acquired, and headed to the new land with something in his hand. Mary said yes to God and had everything to lose. It's similar to the call of Moses, because when Gabriel tells Mary that she will be the mother of the Son of the Most High, Mary does resist at first by asking, "How can this be?" Remember that Moses had several reasons why he could not be the one to go and free God's people. God's call on people to follow God's will does not seem to fit a standard pattern, does it? Abraham was 75 years old, married, had acquired some worldly possessions. Moses had been born of a Levite Hebrew woman, yet raised by the Pharaoh's daughter, killed an Egyptian man whom he saw beat a Hebrew man and fled. So Moses wasn't all squeaky clean. And there are others. All we have to do is read the book of Hebrews, and we are reminded that even a prostitute named Rahab carried out the will of God. It is almost as if God uses people we least expect as well as people we do expect. Even stranger, it seems as if God not only wants a relationship with those deemed God's people, but God also wants a relationship with all of humankind. We started out Advent this year saying we were going to turn Advent upside down. It appears that God may really have the market on the turning of Advent upside down, not us. And Mary knows this. And even in the midst of her world being turned upside down in such a way that could lead to many more hardships in life, Mary sings. Every year I find myself even more astonished that she sings. We could just chalk it up to pregnancy hormones, I'm sure, but I believe that just like Abraham, Moses, and Rahab, Mary's encounter with the Holy showed her the grace, mercy, and love of God that knows no end. even more than that. Mary discovers that the love of God is for the unclean, the untouchable, the poor, the outcast, the hungry, and she sings of this love. God's mercy is for those who know and believe in God from generation to generation. Sounds like the promise made to Abraham. She sings of a love so great, a love meant for all, so much so that God will deal with the proud. God will bring down those who abuse power and lift up those who are oppressed. Haven't we heard this before with Moses, God's people, and Pharaoh? Mary sings of a God who creates a world in which the hungry are now full, and those who hoarded the food have been sent away. God's love is the great equalizer, for all are loved and all have what they need. Wow. For Advent this year, we've been focusing on celebrating the birth of Christ by bringing equality into our world with our gifts. We started out reminding ourselves that celebrating the birth of Christ into this world is not about buying every item in every store every day, especially Target, right? In fact, it really isn't about buying anything for ourselves. It is about giving more of our time to family, friends, giving gifts that are meaningful and heartfelt, giving more from what we have received that all may have what they need, food, shelter, clothing, clean water. Mary's song reminds us that the coming of God into this world, the gift of Emmanuel, is a gift of love. God loves the world so much that God came to dwell with us. God loves the world so much that God's love is for everyone equally. God's love is so powerful that when we celebrate the birth of Christ by spending less and giving more, we begin to realize that everyone we see, everyone is offered this love. A love that Christ calls us to. A love that as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to offer to the world. The song of love that Mary sings, while it can sound kind of harsh against the strong and powerful, well, it is harsh against the abuse of power and offers life to the hungry. This song is filled with a reminder that God has not forgotten God's people, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Talk about love. A love so great that no matter what comes our way, God is there showering us with grace and mercy. A love so great that no matter what we do, God is there showering us with grace and mercy. A love so great that we cannot create a chart that has all of the qualities and characteristics of who it is that God loves and who God doesn't love. A love so great that even in the most despised, looked down upon person, that person's able to carry out God's will. A love so great that it humbles us to our knees and our only response is to sing and to offer the love we have been given to all of God's children. Back in November, Jim, our wonderful music director, came across a poem that resonated with him. He sent me an email asking me if we could use it the first Sunday of Advent. The poem's really more of a Christmas Eve poem, and I suggested we wait a little later in Advent to use it. In fact, I shared with Jim it would be perfect for the fourth Sunday of Advent. Jim really wanted to use it the first Sunday, but graciously, and I do mean graciously, agreed to wait. I owe him for that, by the way. I wanted to save it for today because the more I read the poem, I kept hearing Mary's song side by side. With every line I read, I would hear another line from this beautiful text we have read in the Gospel of Luke. Thunder rumbles in the mountain passes, and lightning rattles the eaves of our houses. Floodwaters await us in our avenues. Snow falls upon snow, falls upon snow to avalanche over unprotected villages. The sky slips low and gray and threatening. We question ourselves, what have we done to so affront nature? We worry, God, are you there? Are you there really? Does the covenant you made with us still hold? Into this climate of fear and apprehension, Christmas enters, streaming lights of joy, ringing bells of hope, and singing carols of forgiveness high up in the bright air. The world is encouraged to come away from rancor, come the way of friendship. It is the glad season. Thunder ebbs to silence, and lightning sleeps quietly in the corner. Floodwaters recede into memory. Snow becomes a yielding cushion to aid us as we make our way to higher ground. Hope is born again in the faces of children. It rides on the shoulders of our aged as they walk into their sunsets. Hope spreads around the earth, brightening all things, even hate, which crouches, breeding in dark corridors. In our joy, we think we hear a whisper. At first, it is too soft, then only half heard. We listen carefully as it gathers strength. We hear a sweetness. The word is peace. It is loud now. It is louder, louder than the explosion of bombs. We tremble at the sound. We are thrilled by its presence. It is what we have hungered for, not just the absence of war, but true peace, a harmony of spirit, a comfort of courtesies, security for our beloveds and their beloveds. We clap hands and welcome the peace of Christmas. We beckon this good season to wait a while with us. We, Baptist and Buddhist, Methodist and Muslim, say, come, peace. Come and fill us and our world with your majesty. We, the Jew and the Gentist, the Catholic and the Confucian, implore you to stay a while with us so we may learn by your shimmering light how to look beyond complexion and see community. It is Christmas time, a halting of hate time. On this platform of peace, we can create a language to translate ourselves to ourselves and to each other. At this holy instant, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ into the great religions of the world. We jubilate the precious advent of trust. We shout with glorious tongues the coming of hope. All the earth's tribes loosen their voices to celebrate the promise of peace. We, angels and mortals, believers and non-believers, look heavenward and speak the word aloud, peace. We look at our world and speak the word aloud, peace. We look at each other, then into ourselves, and we say without shyness or apology or hesitation, peace, my brother. Peace, my sister. Peace, my soul. Jim was right. This poem is absolutely perfect for the first Sunday of Advent, as that was the Sunday of peace. And we talked of the peace that will come our way when we spend less and celebrate Emmanuel with us. I was right too, though, in that there are words of God's love for all, and that we as humans are all in this together. And then if any of you want to raise your hand and say, wait, I hear such hope in this poem, it should have been used on our second Sunday of Advent, when we remembered that giving what matters gives life to all and shows the world the hope we find in God, you are right too. That is why I kept hearing Mary's song as I read the poem. In a world filled with danger, hatred, poverty, inequality, Mary finds herself pregnant. In a world filled with danger, hatred, poverty, inequality, the world today, we find ourselves asking, God, is that covenant you made with Abraham, with Moses, the ways in which you used Rahab, is the covenant you made with us through Mary having Jesus, does that still hold true today? Mary sings in the midst of the raw realities of her day of this incredible love that fills our very human world. Thousands of years later, a poet writes a poem in the midst of many of the raw realities of this day and writes about this incredible love that fills our very human world. And Mary's question, how can this be? And Maya's question, are you still there, God? Presses us even more to realize the depth of God's love for us. Generation after generation after generation, God has loved us that we may have life and love all. In a holy instant, a love so great that God acted through the lowest of people and sent us a Savior in the form of a baby to dwell among us, that we may know the greatest love of all. Amen.